We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
Talking about them fucking dogs. That's what I told them.
Hope it didn't take that long again. Go dogs.
You heard the man. Go dogs. It is time.
Go dogs.
We are back in the house after a week layoff. That Thanksgiving food weighed on us. The family weighed on us. You know, we had to take a little week off. We had a little unexpected things happening. People coming in and things going out. But Foss, what's going on, man?
Hey, man.
Guess what?
Oh, wait. Hold up. 1 second, Foss. Do it right. Do it right, bro.
Guess what, man?
What's that?
Woke up this morning. The dog's still undefeated, man. Still. Still. I've been saying this for... What y'all gonna do, man? College football. What y'all gonna do? Y'all gonna make me say something different for a change? I hope not. You know, I doubt it. But at least try. You know what I'm saying? The dog's undefeated. I say this every freaking week when we do this podcast,
bro. You've been saying it for 29 weeks.
Hey, in a row.
SEC record in a row.
That's something like a record, right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
something sir. Like, something like a record. You know,
let the people know.
Hey, man. Hey, I'm enjoying it, man. We're living high on the hog, man. I'm enjoying it. Don't ever get it twisted. See, I think for the last, you know, decade or so, people making it twisted about the Georgia Tech game. That is a heated rivalry.
Preach, brother.
That is a heated rivalry. It's been lopsided as of late, but it's still what it is. It's clean old-fashioned hate. You know, I don't know how clean it is. you know, I guess they, you know, whoever dubbed it that, they didn't want to, you know. I don't know why they call it that. I don't know how clean it is. Maybe it's clean because we all get along, you know, after the fact. But, you know, between those lines, listen, ain't nothing clean about the hate, baby. And we took care of business again.
Again. You
know, I think a lot of people, I'm seeing a lot of talk on the interwebs. You know, people think, just because, you know, Tech got a few plays off here and there, that it was sweet. No, buddy, it ain't sweet. That game was never out of reach. That game was never, ever. Let me make this clear. That game was never, ever, ever.
Let them know.
In danger. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. I don't care what you say. It was never in danger. They got some good plays off. We had some plays on defense that we didn't quite, you know, probably wasn't happy about. But I can tell what that game was used for by seeing Kirby's I guess demeanor after the game. You know,
tell me about it.
Like he said, what he says is we enjoy the win. We enjoy the wins right now. They tried to poke him and ask him what he was mad about. But again, like not mad about nothing. You know, we enjoy the wins around here. You know what I mean? And so you knew what it was.
False.
You know,
false,
we was warming up for that real deal this weekend.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna get into it. We got our arch nemesis coming into town, you know. Yes, we won the last matchup, but we won it. We didn't win it at home. You know what I mean? The dome, the the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, as I should say. You know, it's still always the dome to some people. but we didn't win it in our spot. You know, I've witnessed the last couple of losses. Man, I've witnessed like three or four losses to Bama in that stadium. You know, just, you know, in person. We have
exorcised the demons.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I've witnessed. So we gotta take care of business in that building. You know, yeah, everybody know we won the last time, but we want to win in that building. You know what I mean? Nobody believes that we can win in that building and win in the SEC championship versus that team. And I think we're on the cusp of doing some great things this weekend.
Well, we about to see about that. We definitely about to see about that. But hey, before we go any further, make sure you hit that subscribe button and like the video. We need your help to promote the show that you love, and we appreciate all the help that y'all provide. Then head on over to IG, TikTok, Facebook, and the X, like and forward the show to all your friends. Then last but not least, head on over to Dog Central, the collaboration for the nation, for intel, pods, video, and everything you like getting from Dog Nation.
Let me say something again.
Yes, sir.
You heard the man. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. You know what I mean? We give you a good pod. You know, we take the time out and give you this good stuff. You know, saying the man Graham gonna come on here with all the intel.
Yes,
you know
sir.
What I mean? The stuff you can't get just anywhere. You know what I mean? Stats and whatnot. And you know, we provide you. So all we ask is a little subscribe. It don't cost you nothing, baby.
It's free.
It don't cost you nothing. Free 99. No, no tax.
No tax.
You know what I mean? I know you're stealing your internet, so it really ain't it really ain't costing you nothing. You know what I mean?
Hey, check it out. Also, look, we know you need something. Everybody needs insurance. So make sure you take care of your family. Head up our guy, Justin Elijah. That's right. He's based in Texas, but he's a dog man through and through, who is licensed in all 50 states. He works with various major carriers, Mutual of Omaha, North American, AIG, and others, along with offering affordable options on life insurance, retirement plans, and others. Give him a call, 229-400-4759. And when you call, bark and tell him 100 sent you. Last but not least, man, look, y'all got to head on over to Home Field Apparel, our favorite spot to get the unique, comfortable, official licensed NCAA apparel. Choose from a wide selection of Georgia apparel and over 150 of your favorite colleges. Look, it's the holidays. I'm just going to tell you now. I already got one sent in. I don't know who's going to get it, but I already got one sent in here. It's a like little cream joint.
Home Field Apparel. Right, I like
yes,
it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, then I got some gear. I got some gear, too.
You got some? You got some good stuff?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. We got some good stuff, man. Home Field got that stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Got that stuff.
I got to get on there tonight, man, because I got to actually get something for my wife. Use the promo code 100 Sanford for 20% off your first order. That's 100 Sanford for 20% off your first order. And we promise you won't be disappointed with the quality and look of your newest collegiate item. I got quite a few things. And you know I'm going to be rocking that cream joint this weekend, because we got the big dogs coming in town. But we're ready for them. We about to just let things pop off in the ATL. What are you going to do, man? Are you going to be at the game? I'm sure you're going to be at the game.
I don't know yet, man. You know what I mean? I got to figure it out. You know, I know I say this, and I always end up end up at the game, but we'll see, man. You know, it's the big game. Not a lot of handouts for the big game, so I got to, you know, got to finagle some things. So we'll see. If not, I'm definitely going to be in front of the tube. You know what I mean? We got tailgates. We got several dogs with tailgates. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, we're going to figure it out. But I'm going to watch that whooping, though.
Look, wait, first of all, let's go back. Let's go back, Foss, because you said we're going to figure it out. The last time you said we're going to figure it out, you was front row trying to dip your hands in the wings with Kendall Milton at the national championship game. So, look, I know you're going to figure it out.
Hey, that happened maybe the day before the game, 2 days before the game.
Yeah.
So I had to, you know, I had to bite the bullet and pay that price for a ridiculous flight out to L.A. But it ended up being worth it. The free ticket to see that go down back to back, it was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, you played a lot of great games, you know what I'm saying, with your career, with the Dawgs, your career in the National Football League, and you've been in the trenches between, you know, between the lines. But, you know, to be able to see the national championship game front row, smelling chicken wings off the fingers of the other players is a heck of a seat, brother. I'm going to just let you know that now. But, yeah, it's going to be a big one, man. It's going to be a good one down there in Atlanta. You got the Dawgs. You got Bama. It's Saturday, 4 p.m. It's for all the marbles in the SEC. What's your original thoughts, man? What's your thoughts on this game as we go try to get another SEC championship?
What do I think about this game? I feel like Georgia is, again, ascending at the right time. I feel like this team, this staff, they really get it. You know what I mean? They're taking care of the players, taking care of the bodies. You know, they're getting them ready to. I feel like this staff is gonna. Although there's potentially, you know, two more games left after this one. I feel like they're gonna, you know, especially if they need to, they're gonna throw the kitchen sink at this game. You know what I mean? Because you have to, as we saw last weekend. Now, although we don't know why Auburn decided to rush two men on 4th and 31, but
oh my God.
That's neither here nor there. But still, Bama won, and they shouldn't have. You know what I mean?
Facts.
So you know what you got to do. You got to put your foot on their neck, and then you got to press a little bit more until your foot hit the ground. You know what I mean? That's what you have to do to Alabama, and I feel like we're prepared to do that. You know, we're going to have some guys coming off some rest. You know, hopefully it was just that, rest, some more healing, and I feel like we can do pretty doggone good this weekend. I'm hesitant to call a route, so to speak, but there's potential there for that. I trust their staff to make it very hard on Bama's offense. I trust all the heads, you know, from Chu to Kirby to Champ. You know, I trust them to make it really hard on Bama. I feel like anything Bama does explosive will be improvisational. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, as far as what Bama has to do within the scope of their offense, I feel like this Georgia staff is going to have a handle on that. You know, so that's why the potential for a route is there. You know what I mean? But we also have to score on their defense. They have some key pieces. I was looking at a recent mock. You know, although mocks are not a tell all, and mocks you know, sometimes mocks don't mean a thing, but mocks do reflect what these people that write them are hearing from people in the know. And they got some people over there. They probably got about 3 first rounders on the defense. You know what I mean? The corner, the 2 corners, and the edge guy.
Dallas Turner.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we got to do our thing on offense versus their defense. But I think the, you know, when you stack them up together, our defense, we have a chance between our, between the guys on the field and the guys with the headsets on, we have a chance to make it really hard for Bama's offense. So I'm looking forward to this game, man. I haven't been this excited for a game in a while. I'm trying to remember if I was this excited last year. I just felt like I didn't feel like LSU had a chance, you know. So I think this is different. Like, it's not like I feel like Bama has the best chance, but Bama has had the upper hand in this building. They lost the last game versus Georgia, but in this building, they've had the upper hand, and I'm excited to get another chance at that. Because preseason, I didn't feel like that was going to be the case. I wasn't very high on Milroe. I felt like LSU I felt like LSU was the favorite again to get back into back to Atlanta, and so I'm happy to see that we're going to get a chance to beat Bama in that building, you know what I mean? It hasn't happened, you know what I mean? So I'm ready.
Man, Foss, we got Mr. Graham Coffee just joined the show. Graham.
What's up? Sorry I'm late, man. Fellas.
It's all right, brother.
You're right on time, buddy.
I mean, look, George so eloquently put it, you know, we're 29-0, you know, in the last 29 games.
Still undefeated, man.
Still undefeated. Still, you know, drinking coffee for closers, you know what I mean? We're still doing that sort of thing. And he's just really sharing his excitement, his joy for what's about to go down this weekend at Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 4 p.m.
I love it.
What are your thoughts? I know we got a guest coming on soon. Hopefully it's going to be an exciting show. But what are your early thoughts? And then we'll get back into it after our guest.
Yeah, I mean, my early thoughts are – Bama, you know, I think too, like, looking at some of their success rate stuff and how that looks in the red zone and
On solo, baby. My bad.
threw me off a little bit. The thing I would say is, you know, Alabama only averages 63 offensive plays a game, which is not that many. It's 98th nationally. So, you know, we're used to some games in the past where Bama, even the 2021 game that Georgia won in Indianapolis, Bama had a huge disparity in terms of number of plays run. And, like, you're used to seeing these Alabama offenses that can live off of these like little chunks and just take small chunks all the way down the field. And then when you get to the red zone, you hope that things shrink enough to stop them and get out of there with 3. And that strategy worked for Georgia in the 2021 national title game. Eventually that, you know, kind of broke down and they got the pick 6 and they got to pull away. But this Bama team is very, very reliant on explosive plays. They are 43.6% offensive success rate, which is basically just a measure of how well you stay on schedule. That's 39th nationally. It's not a world beater type number. And, you know, on third downs, Milroe, his passing success rate actually goes down a few percent, but their rushing success rate bumps up about 10%. So you get them in third and long, it's a scenario where Milroe has like some of his biggest pass plays of the year in like third and 10 plus, but it's just very boom or bust. And, you know, George was kind of talking about like, you feel like some things will have to be sort of off script for them to be explosive. I tend to agree with you on that. It's also interesting, though, just because, like, it feels like to score consistently that that might also have to be off script. So, you know, or not off script, but, like, it might also have to be, you know, explosive. Like, I don't see Bama making five trips into the red zone against Georgia and scoring four touchdowns. That would surprise me a large amount, honestly. Milroe, last kind of stat thing I'll point out here is 47.5% of his passing yards this season have come on throws that were 20-plus yards downfield. And he does throw a gorgeous deep ball. Like, he's 55.2% on 58 attempts downfield. Like that, only one pick, 15 touchdowns. But what's interesting is, you know, you keep your safeties behind their guys and force him into making some of these more intermediate throws, and he, you know, becomes a 54% completion guy. His average time to throw is the biggest that Georgia's seen all year from the quarterback position. So he's not getting the ball out super quick. And those deep balls, he completes 70% when he's throwing them between the numbers. You force him outside the numbers, and that goes down dramatically. So I think the good news for Georgia is that nobody's really had success with the strategy of let's test Malachi Starks and Javon Puller deep over the middle over and over. And I think, right, like, that's kind of what Bama does best. So Milroe's going to have to either make some throws on the boundaries that he hasn't made so far this year, or, you know, Starks and Bullard are going to have a bad game. It's kind of how it feels to me. But the last team that tried that kind of strategy against Georgia was Ole Miss. Dart had six attempts of 20-plus yards. He only had, like, I think six that were between the line of scrimmage and 20 yards when you take the screens and all that out. He was 1 of 6 on those throws and had a pick, and he got knocked out of that game early. So I think it bodes well for Georgia in the sense of they just don't give up yards deep over the middle. And Everett has had his struggles at times, but he has not busted coverages. You know, where he's kind of struggled has been on, like, back shoulder throws and stuff. And mm-hmm. That's not really Bama's game so far.
Well, Graham, we're gonna pause. We're gonna pause our talk right now because we got our guest who's in house right now. We've been waiting for this. I think all of our listeners are probably gonna, like, enjoy this one.
Doing, huh?
Graham, I'm gonna let you do the honors because I know you've been waiting for this as well. Man, let's get it on. Let's get it on here at 100 Sanford.
All right. So we have with us this evening, public enemy number one of UGA Twitter, Mr. Vern Funquist himself, a very good friend of mine as well, Mr. Chris Marler. Not this week, obviously, but join us on the show from Saturday Down South. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. Listen, you know, I've always been a huge fan of Stanford Stadium, so it's like I'm excited to be here. I'm playing. No, I appreciate you guys having me. Listen, this is like the biggest rivalry of this week is me with my own sanity and then me with like a handful of UGA Twitter who always seem to forget that, like, I do spend a lot of time hyping up how good of a program this is, because it's the best program in the country, even as a diehard Bama fan, and have been a diehard Bama fan my whole life. There's just people, I think, that forget it sometimes, Bobby Wilson, that sometimes don't understand that, like, yeah, I still have a team that I like. Doesn't mean I can't be objective. But I appreciate you guys having me. I'm a big fan of all y'all. I know that I'm not sure if you guys have all muted me. I feel like that's a thing me and Graham have had to do in the past. So with good reason, it's good to be here.
How do you expect us to believe when you're propping us up, though? That's the problem. Like we always have to reserve a little bit of, like, is he talking? Is he for real, or is he being facetious?
See, my favorite part of this, George, is and honestly, that's something y'all are gonna have to work out in therapy. I put in the work a lot of times, like Rocky. I'll have the actual truth out of all this is that, like, I do feel like I can be objective. Now, I grew up in the state of Georgia. I've told Graham the story. I'm not going to get into too much of it. My first stepdad was a Georgia fan. That's how white trash I am. My first stepdad. I used to go up growing to Georgia games and stuff like that. I've never been a huge fan of Georgia. I have really enjoyed a lot of success with Alabama over like the last decade or so, but I can be objective. I don't know. Like I'll be in like Bama group chats and they'll be like, dude, why are you such a Georgia homer? And I'm like, this is unreal. Like I need to find a home this week. I'm fandom because like Bama fans think I hate Bama because I'll be like objective against them. Georgia fans think I hate Georgia because like I'll say like snide remarks. But I genuinely do believe that Georgia is the best team in the country this year and the best program in the country. Like that is not a joke. I'm gonna be pulling against you guys 1,000%. I would like for this to end. This has been a miserable 29 games for me.
Let me ask you this, though. This just came in my mind. Did you expect them to be the best team in the best program in the country this year?
Best
program? And best team in the country in August.
In August, yeah. September, no. In August, I did. I thought there was like – I was very low on Mike Bobo and how that was going to work. And not because I didn't believe in Bobo, partially because I didn't, to be honest. And I've been completely wrong about that, but mainly because I just think that Georgia fans and a lot of fans don't realize how difficult it is to replace generational type talent. And you've had like a generational, I'm not saying maybe not generational talent at QB, but a generational type talent for a winner at quarterback. Yes. That was so underrated for so many years. Then you talk about having to replace Todd Monken, who was like a revelation in this program. Like, I mean, like I'm old enough to remember how Georgia fans felt about Mike Bobo and like, you know, the first go around. But
I always thought they were stupid for that. We were scoring 40 points a game, but Grantham was just
called you guys stupid. That's just what I want to hear that.
Screwing away. We had Grantham screwing it away. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
No, I think
Bobo
I think
was doing his thing. Too.
They just like, I just thought it was going to be some level of drop off because it's with the level of efficiency that they operated at last year, especially like that was the main thing. It wasn't like, oh, this team's not going to be as good. It's just like they performed. You guys averaged 46.6 points per game against ranked opponents last year. Teams don't do that. Like SEC teams don't do that. And you don't do that in like, you know, especially with the margin of victory that they seem to have against every single good opponent, like minus maybe Ohio State. I saw some flaws, I thought, in September, but what Kirby has proven every year is like, it's almost like a test run for the first month and a half. And then he gets that bye week and he's like, okay, here's what works. Here's what doesn't work. And now we're going to go play our rivals. And that's when Kirby, I feel like, gets like a gleam in his eye. Am I allowed to cuss on the show?
Yeah, man. Okay. Wait. PG-13/R. Let's not go X. Let's not go X.
No rated X. Yeah.
It's always fun to watch Georgia come out of the bye week because Kirby fucking hates Florida. Like, he hates Florida. And he hates Florida the way that
he is me.
Florida. Yeah. And so, exactly. He hates him the way the fans do. So, it's always fun to watch them come out of there. And, like, I've come across the last, like, 2 or 3 years where I'm just, like, I'm pulling against Georgia when they play Alabama 1,000%. I make no bones about it. I'm blown away almost like at a weekly basis, especially in crunch time when it matters, like over the last 2 or 3 seasons, of what this Georgia team is capable of doing. Because it's stuff that even as a diehard Bama fan, stuff that didn't happen during the Bama dynasty. And I thought that was going to be like the peak of like any dynasty in college football history. You're seeing stuff like, I mean, like the draft picks, like just the level, like the rotation of players and still being that elite. Like, it's just insane. And every time I think it's going to stop so far, it just hasn't.
Chris, what were your thoughts early on? You know, you said Georgia back in August, and then your thoughts kind of changed in September. What were your thoughts on Bama? Because I know going in, me and Graham, you know, we were like, you know, Bama loses early to Texas. It's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
That was our thoughts, and we thought they would lose to Texas. But what were your early thoughts with Bama?
Man, Jalen Milroe, Heisman frontrunner coming out of MTSU, 5 touchdowns. I said all offseason – that I thought Bama would lose to Texas. And I said specifically they would lose by 10-plus points because I thought that at that point you would not have the quarterback situation figured out. Texas was going to be coming in. They already played Bama really close the year before. That's a team that didn't lose a lot. Like, they returned all 5 offensive linemen. They returned a ton of talent at the skill position. And really the only spot that they lost was at running back. And if there's any position that seems like it's replaceable in this day and age of football, it's running back. And so – they just did a tremendous job. And I thought, like, you know, I'm a big believer in Sark. Me and Graham have thought about this repeatedly. Like, I think that Sark is a tremendous offensive mind. They lost that game, and it was expected for me. I was worried that they were going to – like, they haven't lost that early in the season in the Saban era. And I was worried about how they were going to respond. And if I, so, like, it's been a pleasant surprise each week, right? Like, if you want to know exactly how I felt about it, I guess the best way I could – the best example I can give is that on Saturday at 3:30, I will be at a wedding shower because I was asked to go the week after the USF game. Because I was like, yeah, there's no way Bama's going to be in the SEC championship game. That's totally fine. Whatever you want, babe. Yeah, I know. Graham Connor is going to the game. I'm going to a wedding shower. Yeah. Man. Well, the game will be on. But
well, no, it might not be good for your, like, you know, public image or arrest record if you're at a wedding while this game is going on.
Wedding
depending
shower.
On how things go in either direction, really.
Yeah. Oh, the good news is also it's a lot of UGA alums, so I'm sure I'll just get along swimmingly with them. no, but I think that, like, it's been awesome to watch this year because it's a team that's gotten better each week, and it was super frustrating at the USF game. But if I'm being 1,000% honest too, like the fan in me, it's been awesome. Like it because like let's face it, like you guys get this now as like the best team in the country. When you go play Arkansas or you go play Mississippi State, like you're not. No part of you thinks you're going into a dogfight. Like, it's not going to be a four-quarter game. It's like, how many points are we going to beat them by? What level of execution are we going to be able to, like, execute at? Are we going to see, you know, any other freshmen, someone have a breakout game, whatever. And always, like, no injuries. Like, that's just, like, the main thing, right? Especially when you go to Starkville. Jesus. But I sat there and, like, Ole Miss, I didn't think they were going to win. They come back and win that game. A&M, that line went down to, like, a pick'em or, like, a one-point spread before the kickoff. It's been a lot of fun because the games have mattered again. It's just been a lot of fun. Last week was a GD nightmare, but it's been a lot of fun. No.
All right. So my question for you, like, I think maybe from the Georgia side, and you and I were texting about this earlier in the week, like the way that Bama won that game against Auburn last week was kind of eerily similar to how they won the 2021 game against Auburn with like the late drive, and this result was probably even more miraculous. I feel like there might actually be a kind of this vibe within the UGA fan base where, like, seeing Alabama win a game like that, you know, kind of like makes them twitch a little bit. It like kind of creates a little bit of a like a reminder of, like, this is still Nick Saban. Yes, Georgia 29 game winning streak. I think, like, you have become the best program and all of that. But I am curious from the Bama perspective, like, has that created a belief system, or was what you saw on the field that happened before that point too overwhelming?
First and foremost, I do not like being lumped in with Bama fans. Despite identifying as one.
But you are, you know, plugged into the psyche.
No, I mean, a Bama fan. I am a Bama fan. You're a Bama for fan. Sure. But, like, I'm not to the point where it's like I have these massive crimson glasses on where I can't see anything else, and I know we're going to go in and beat them. Because I think if you're saying that, you're not being objective, you're not being honest. Like, this is a huge, massive, massive opponent they're going up against, and a massive hurdle they're going to have to clear. I will tell you, the Auburn game, the thing that worries me about it, if there's one takeaway I had, it's just the run game. And the way that they were able to effectively run the football almost at will against Bama, I'm not sure why they didn't continue to do that. And that kind of being parallel or happening at the same exact time as Kendall Milton playing the best football he's played in his entire collegiate career over, like, the last 3 weeks. The kid's been awesome. I mean, so that part is terrifying. Let's burn the sage and have as many like good vibes and superstitions as possible. Yeah, love the fact that, like, the 2021 things are very similar. But when I look at this game, I think it's a much different game in terms of, you know, that's a different Stetson than even how Carson Beck is right now. He's kind of flown under the radar somehow, even though he's put up 3,500 yards passing. And the way this team has operated has been a lot different than I think than, like, what Bama fans have seen from Georgia in the past. Like, that game in 2021, everyone went into it thinking, like, how's Bama going to score? I think Bama could score some points. But when I look at Georgia, I look at it and I'm thinking, they can overcome at least one turnover. I don't know if Bama can against this Georgia team. And then like just this like revolving door of who wants to have like a show out game, especially at the wide receiver position in the latter half of the season, has been incredible to watch. But when you like every time I've watched Bama as the season's gone on in November, I'm like, oh my God, man, like look at us. Look at what we did to Kentucky today. Hayes in the barn. Hopefully Georgia struggles a little miss. And Georgia's like, hold my beer. Anything you can do, we can do even better against a better opponent. So I think like if you're being honest as a Bama fan, it's a huge, formidable opponent. I think that they're going to be able to score some points. And I think that Milroe is going to play a lot better than people think. I really do. I don't know if Bama's defense is going to keep Georgia from scoring 30. And I don't think that Bama's going to be able to score 30. That's, I mean.
Is Milroe, I think Milroe's underrated. And I think he's more accurate than a lot of people give him credit for. Are his receivers good enough to let him have a huge game? Like, I think this is the first time we've gone into a Georgia-Alabama game and probably been able to definitively say Georgia's pass catchers are better in, I don't know, decades maybe?
I'm not going to walk into this trap and talk about receivers going into a Georgia-Bama game.
Why?
No, I'm kidding. I will tell you, the most confident thing I can say about Bama's receivers is that Jermaine Burton is going to do something fucking stupid on Saturday. For sure.
We need that. We need that in our lives as Georgia fans.
Oh, my God. He like, I was watching some – I forgot what game it was, but I was like, hey, Jermaine Burton had like four catches, didn't do anything stupid. And then they replay his catch. It was like a routine catch. And it's like a 10-yard dig. The guy's playing way, way off. It's like in this like incredible cushion form, nowhere near him. And he's like just kind of like jogging past him. And Jermaine Burton just slaps him in the face and was like, can you just not do any of the things that come to your head?
He's a wide receiver with DB energy is what he is.
It's just unreal. I don't think that like there's a single guy that's going to be like a massive mismatch. I think Amari Nyblack is a guy that has in spots and Kendrick Law in spots have been like really explosive, but almost every single time it seemingly happened, or half the time, it's been like a situation where it got called back because of a penalty or something has happened. Like this team's had seven touchdowns called back because of penalties this year. So I think, yeah, it's a lot. It's like five in the first like 4 weeks, by the way. So I do think that like they're going to be able to have potential spots, or maybe Tommy Reese can scheme something up. Because we've seen it happen this year, but like not for 60 minutes. No, I think that they're going to have to hit some like multiple explosive plays that are like, I just don't see this team driving down the field consistently on Georgia. Shut up, George.
I think Lasseter is going to have a couple of those receivers in a torture rack Saturday.
I hope it's not. I hope it's Jermaine Burton. In a literal torture like, rack off the field.
I really believe it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I honestly,
now,
I
don't, you know, now maybe somebody else emerges, but yeah, that dude is playing like insane football right now.
Yeah,
He's a lock for the first round.
It's and, been. Yeah, and, I need to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we're gonna see. Hopefully, Burton, like you said, plays knuckleheadish.
I mean, it's like the most consistent thing about his game. It's just like, I mean, last week against Auburn, he did fine. He didn't do anything stupid then, but this game, this, I'll tell you a story. I remember one time I went to a buddy's going away party and my college ex was going to be there with her new boyfriend that I already didn't like. And I remember looking at the girl I was dating at the time and I go, and my friends that we were going with, I go, you've got 3 hours. This is an open bar situation. You've got 3 hours to get me out of here. And they didn't get me out of there. And after the fifth hour, I was asked to leave. And that I told them what was going to happen. And that's what happened. So that's Jermaine Burton. This better not go to overtime because he's not going to be available. I'll tell you that.
He was the biggest.
CBS better hurry them commercial breaks up, man.
Oh my God! Yeah,
hey Chris, the last ever. They're gonna get him in.
Yeah.
Hey, you're talking about adjustments, man. You were talking about Tommy Reese and if he could, you know, dial something up. Who do you give the advantage to then when it comes down to coaching? mean, you got the big stick. You know, you got Big Stick Nick, I call him. If I were him, I'd walk around with a Speedo and a top hat all day because I'm the guy, right? Yeah. But who are you giving, you know, the advantage to? Because you got Kirby, who's now top of the mountain. You got Big Stick Nick. Who are you giving the advantage to, man?
I hate David Pollock. Let me just say that. That quote today was something. but I mean, I don't know how. I will say this. If I'm being fair and objective, I think this is a tremendous job that Nick Saban's done this year. And if you talk to anybody close to the program, one of the things that's been like completely changed, I get first off, his daughter is like one of my best friends. So I get like super defensive over Nick Saban just because like it anytime something is said, it's like, that's my friend's dad. And the stuff that's said, like, you know, just I'm Bobby Wilson again. I'm just going to call him out repeatedly. but like, I get that he is Darth Vader. I get that he's like, you know, he is the GOAT and he's been incredible. I think at the start of the year, I definitely have Kirby as the better coach and what he's been able to do lately, especially in-game adjustments, roster management, recruiting, like all of these different things. I think he's done a better job at. I think this is one of the best coaching jobs that Saban has ever done while he's been in Alabama. And he's been more engaged. You can see he's like kind of brought back to life a little bit, like where he's like it's fun for him again because he's having to actually coach. Like he's actually having to like get these kids like better and put them into like the right situation and having like them have to learn. And I also think he's got a much more coachable team this year. Like it's a team that I think that has like proven leadership that you've seen throughout the season. And people don't want to hear it, but I really think, especially in 2021, man. That team at times was held together by Bryce Young, Will Anderson, and duct tape. It was just like there's just the offensive line play was bad. It's been fun to watch him be able to coach throughout the year. If I'm taking between those two, I mean, I'll hate myself for. I'll just say push. To be honest, I can't say one or the other. I will tell you this: the experience on the staff at Georgia, I think is a massive, massive advantage for Georgia. Like with Bobo and Muschamp, Tommy Reese is about to go into the biggest game of his life against the most difficult opponent he will ever face. That is terrifying. He doesn't have Bryce Young. He doesn't have J-Mo. He doesn't have this is going to be a very tough situation for him. And how does he respond for 60 minutes? Of like, cause how many times have you seen those pictures where he's like, oh my God, like losing his mind in there. I will say too, though, I think that there's a place where, this happened in 2021. I remember going to the game and I told Graham, I said, what Bama has to do is put Georgia in a completely unfamiliar place that's also all too familiar. Because I love the confidence, George. I know you were saying earlier, like the fans aren't scared. Sure. I know for a fact that locker room's not scared. And I know Kirby Smart is not scared. But if you go put yourself in a situation where they have been specifically in that building, and it gets late in that game and it's close and some things they've done some uncharacteristic things that happen during football games, right? Like if there's a fumble, if there's, you know, like an interception or something like just a game changing or momentum changing type play where they're like, they're still haven't pulled away from a team that they are better than, then you kind of wonder if they get like a little bit tight and you wonder what's going to happen. And I will tell you this to Georgia fans. I feel like I've praised your program a lot. And I think that they have every right to be confident and arrogant because they are the best program in the country. But if you're telling me that you're going to walk into that stadium, I don't care how drunk, obnoxious, confident, arrogant you are, you're going to walk into that stadium at 4 o'clock or whatever on Saturday, and you're going to look in that end zone and say, well, that's where Devontae Smith ripped my heart out. That end zone, that's where Jalen Hurts came in off the bench, ripped my heart out. That's where we called a 4th-and-11 fake punt to Justin Fields for some reason. Oh, and then that right there where Bryce Young went for 468 yards in an SEC championship game record against the best defense of all time. You can't tell me that the fans, if it gets to that point, that kind of momentum in the building, I think, could affect the game. But all of that is going to be blocked out by the locker room. All of that is going to be blocked out in the locker room because Georgia's not going to be scared of anybody.
You just affected me.
Well, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't like this.
I don't think. I don't think they have. You have the offensive roster to strike fear at this point. But we back up a little bit, though. I agree with you. It's funny you say that because when you look at the little graphics on your ESPN app or whatever and the team matchup and you see Georgia 12-0, but you look over here and you see Alabama 11-1, and you think back to how you were thinking, how I was thinking in August, how are they 11-1?
Yeah.
It is a push.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the reason it's a push to me is because in any other season, you'd have to say this Saban has done the best job in the conference. It's Kirby's up there, but you have to say that. But I give Kirby, I push Kirby up there too, to make it a push because he's had to do some of the same things Saban has had to do. I don't think people realize the loss that Georgia has had the last 2 years,
right?
You know, with their team, like a lot of loss personnel wise,
25 draft picks,
a lot of loss. Facts. They've had a lot of loss in season this year. You lost the first round offensive tackle for I don't know how many weeks. You lost possibly the best player in football, definitely a top five player in football in your star tight end who nobody can cover. It's proven. It's literally proven.
It's in the postseason. It's a joke.
We lost an uncoverable piece.
Yeah.
Of offense for how many weeks? 4 weeks. We have. Yeah. A freshman, a new cornerback that can't track the ball for Jack. He's playing his heart out, and he's in position, can't make the play sometime, and we're making it happen with him. We don't have any difference makers. Well, I'm gonna say that. We're talking about, you know, with first world problems here. We don't have Jalen Carter or Jordan Davis by any stretch.
Yeah,
in the middle, you know what I mean. We don't have N'Kobe Dean yet. Now we got some young talent. Now, don't get it twisted. I am not mad at the talent that's there because they're going to be very good.
Yeah,
probably next
year. For the next few years.
Right? Yeah, they're going to be very good.
Yeah,
Kirby has had to really, and that whole staff, they've had to do a really good coaching job this year too.
Yeah. George, this has been one of the things, I brought this up on radio today, and it's amazing to watch. Because I don't remember when it happened, but it's amazing how quickly the narrative, especially from rival fans, and that's like the lowest of lows, right? I don't take that as seriously as like what we've seen from like national media, but it's amazing how quickly the narrative about Georgia and Kirby Smart was like, can't win the big game, can recruit all this talent, he's Mark Richt 2.0, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, yeah, they only won because they have the most talent on the team or like out of any team in the country. They only won by 30 against this ranked opponent because such and such happened. Like, I watched Kentucky fans after they get boat raced by you. They're like, we schemed some guys open early on. Who knows? If we would have hit those, who knows what would happen? I was like, I know. You lost the third game. Like, that's the one I keep saying about, like, the LSU thing. It was like, in that specific game for Bama, I looked at it and I'm like, people will say, like, well, if Jordan Day or I'm sorry, Jaden Daniels didn't get hurt. And I was like, well, Bama had just scored on 6 of their 7 possessions, right? Like, it's like, if they did stop them, if they did score, they had to get the ball back to Bama. It's like, you know, I will say, I think that it has been a tremendous job by Kirby Smart. Like, it's just crazy to me that it, and I grew up around the state of Georgia and watching Georgia football. And I loved, you know, I miss Ray Goff. I miss Donnan. I miss Mark Richt so much. And I just like, it's crazy that, I mean, you guys just went 12-0 for the third straight regular season. And it's so ho-hum at this point, because everything is being executed at such a high level that it's just expected. And I don't think people understand truly how difficult it is to do what Kirby has done. And again, like, I'll say this, like, give the man his flowers and I'll, you know, be objective. Like, what Saban did and played 6 national titles and won 6 national titles in 12 years and played 9 and 14. I don't know if it's ever going to be done again. But I will tell you that there are things that Kirby is doing at Georgia right now, like with the draft picks, like with like some of the player development that were never done when Saban started his dynasty at Alabama. It's just plain as day and just truthful. And like, that doesn't mean that one is necessarily better than the other, but it does mean that like he is doing things that have not been done in Alabama before. They're operating at a higher level in a lot of different places.
Chris, we brought that up during our last show. I brought it up. I said, you know what? Could you consider Kirby Smart the greatest coach of all time if he wins three straight? Wait a minute, three straight, mm-hmm. including the NIL era, including the portal, and all these conference alignment changes and everything else. Could you consider it? Now, I know it's going to upset Bama fans, and I know how many Big Stick is, you know, he's won.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, it's unprecedented. I don't think anybody else will be able to actually accomplish that moving forward, winning three in a row in this new era. I think it'll be impossible.
I think you're just really discrediting the Minnesota teams from the early 30s, man. And it's kind of just with, you know, all those guys playing against Ace Hardware every single week. I think you can make the case, man. I think one of the things that I remember being so blown away about with Kirby was the development of talent into the NFL, like the NFL draft. Because Rick's always got talent, right? And then you started like mm-hmm. look at where some of these like, and you saw like what that translated to sometimes on the field. Like they had 9 defensive players on that 2012 team go get drafted in the NFL draft, and they still gave up like 350 yards rushing in that 2012 SEC championship game. This is a different breed of talent they're bringing in and developing. But I remember looking at it, and it was like, all right, here's what Kirby's done in his first 7 years as a head coach. He has put 55 kids in the NFL in his first 7 years. And then you look at like what other coaches have done that. This is like a graphic I made a while back. And I remember looking at it and I was like, I'm comparing it to the other first 7 years of other coaches like Saban and Urban Meyer and all those other people. And it's ahead of all of them. It's ahead of all of them. Right. And then you start looking at like the comparisons of what he's done in 7 years versus people like what Bobby Bowden did and Joe Paterno did in like 30 years. And it still is up there and incomparable. And it's crazy to me that like he's been able to do that so early. And then you take a step back and you're like, oh, by the way, that 55 that he had one player his first year. So he's had 54 in the last 6. Like, it's just insane. It's operating at a different level than we've ever seen. I think you can make the case. I will not make that case for you because I will walk myself out of that one. But yeah, I definitely think you can make the case.
Stay true awesome. To your guy. You got to stick with your guy. I get it. Stick with your boy. All right. So what do you think is going to happen on Saturday? I mean, like where's your mind at with how this game potentially
I'm just
plays
so out. Happy for these two people getting married. And I think it's awesome. That so here's how I think it'll play out. I think that Bama will be able to like score. I think that Milroe will be able to do a couple of things like get loose. And cause I've said this too, like the thing that was so scary about not putting him as the starter before the season is that the moment he steps on the field and just hear me out on this, cause I know that Georgia is loaded with their roster. But the moment he steps on the field, he's the best athlete on the field on either side. And he is just a freak athlete. I think that he can definitely, put you in some compromising positions, I think, from a defensive standpoint and pick up big chunk plays. I don't know how Bama's offensive line is going to be able to block for 60 minutes, but they figure out a way in 2021. I don't know if they'll be able to do that again. But what I keep coming back to is this. I think Bama can get to 24. I do. I think Bama can score 24 points maybe on Georgia. And then I look at Georgia's offense and I'm like, since the Florida game, you have put up just ridiculously efficient numbers on offense. And you have, it's almost like you picked a name out of a hat each week. It's like, hey, which one of your receivers wants to have a career day today? Like, and then you sat them all against Georgia Tech, and like, which is like a perfect Kirby move. Like, oh my God, we only won by 8. We have things to work on again. Like, I just don't think that
you get it.
Yeah, I get it. I know exactly. Like,
I knew what was happening. I went to the game. I was watching it in real time. I was like, it's one of these games.
The last thing I wanted to have happen in that game was to lose to Georgia Tech. And I grew up loving Georgia Tech, like living in Atlanta. But I was like, I was getting all these texts from Bama fans, like, they're barely beating Georgia Tech. I'm like, we just escaped on a 4th-and-31 miracle against Auburn. Like, sit this one out for a second. But I think that, like, Bowers, there's not an answer for him. And I just don't know with, like, the level that they're able to execute right now and the health that they're going to have on that side of the football, and offense specifically, whether it's Milton, who, like I said, is playing his best football since he's, like, set foot on campus in Athens, if it's Dylan Bell, if it's McConkie, if it's Bowers, if it's like rah-rah or like anyone else. I just feel like they are going to keep coming and keep coming, keep coming. And Bobo has been in his bag so many times this year where he's been able to dice up defenses and like dial up all these different plays. And here's the other thing too, guys, is that like we've seen Kirby do stuff over the last couple of years. You know full well, just like I do, there's still several wrinkles in that offense and defense that no one has seen yet because he hasn't had to do it because he knows what he has. He knows what he has.
I think that more so.
The thing that concerns me more than anything about this game for Bama, I think that Bama's going to lose the game. I've said all year I thought they would lose by 10 points, and Vegas has been really wrong about Bama by around 7 points on a majority of their big games, whether it be in favor of them or not. So the 6 points means nothing to me. I think that it's like a 10-point game. Where I get concerned as a Bama fan the most is how big is the chip on Kirby's shoulder after hearing anything about Bama possibly being back. Because if he wants to really put his foot on the throat of that program, I think he might have the chance to do that on Saturday. And I worry if he's like, if he's up 10, we can go get another one. Excuse my language.
Have to go get another one.
Yeah. And like, what is he, you see the camera as soon as it's on him, as soon as he's like walking off the field, fuck these motherfuckers. Like that's his whole thing. So if you think he's just going to be like, no, I really respect Nick. I think he does respect Nick. But for the 60 minutes of the clock ticking in that stadium, I don't think he will.
Bama just won on 4th and 31.
Sorry with me, George.
You cannot take your foot off
margin.
There's no way. Like you have to kill them and kill them all the way.
Yeah.
Like
I mean, that's the sign of respect, right? Like,
no.
Kirby just coached a game against Georgia Tech where he was totally comfortable. Truthfully, yeah. Like fielding an onside kick up 8 in the fourth quarter and just running the ball and not even really trying to score again. And yeah, like that's not exactly, I think, how they planned that out, but there was never any sweat at all in that game. And, you know, I think like Kirby had enough respect for Lane to blow him out of the building, you know, and I'm not saying Georgia is going to blow out Bama in this game. Like Bama's a really good football team. I think Bama's the best team that Georgia's played this year.
Yeah.
But I think that between Kirby and Nick, like, it would almost be more disrespectful.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with any of this.
George, you played in the Sugar Bowl in 02 when Rick came and played against his mentor in Bowden. And, like, I mean, even as, like, a 13, 14-year-old kid, I remember watching that game and being like, Georgia could win this by, like, 35 right now. But
we have very different memories of that game.
They're not going to because
– Rick was really – he didn't want. He didn't want. Like, that was Bobby Bowden. He didn't want.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do that. It could have got real ugly.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think if it can get ugly on Saturday, then it'll get ugly. And you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, how much longer do you think Nick coaches?
I'm not getting into this because I got to go record my podcast. But
all right, fair.
I do think that he's got a couple more years in him. I think this has been a rejuvenating year for him. I also would not be surprised if this is his last year if he wins it, or if he – I'll just say that. That's all I'll say. But I do have to run. Guys, all jokes aside, I know we kid around a lot, especially on Twitter, but I appreciate you guys having me on. You guys are great. I guess George didn't want to be here anymore. But I appreciate you guys. I love what y'all do, and I hope y'all have
here.
A good day on Saturday.
Appreciate it.
Thanks
for coming on. All right, Chris, thanks for coming on. That was good, man. I mean, it's always good to get another perspective, first of all, from not necessarily from a guy that's played the game, you know, on that particular team, which we brought on time after time on this show, but someone who's a fan of the game, someone who's a fan of the team, I appreciated with Chris is that he really is looking at this game objectively. And I wish more fans on both sides would really do so. I hear him completely. You know, from a Georgia fan perspective, and all you hear is, oh, we're going to blow them out. It's going to, you know, there's no way Bama hangs. It's still Bama. It's still Nick Saban. He's one of the best that's ever done it. Kirby was underneath him, and Kirby was his architect of his defenses. But you know what? Nick was the original Jedi, right? I mean, he showed Kirby everything there was, and you can only best believe that he's going to be prepared for this game. He's going to have his team ultimately prepared for this game. And quite honestly, I mean, we talked about it before you came on, Graham. I think Kirby sandbagged against Georgia Tech, but I also think Nick Saban and Alabama sandbagged against Auburn a lot of that game. And I think both teams were trying to, a little bit of gamesmanship, trying to figure some things out that each team does well and trying to stop what those teams do well. Bama's going to have to stop the run, but guess what? Georgia's going to have to stop Milroe in the run as well. And they had a good case with Haynes King to be able to, a running quarterback, a guy that can actually escape the pocket. They wanted to see what they can do. And I think they were just kind of sandbagging a little bit.
Well, I think the odd thing about this game with a Kirby defense and a Nick defense is that, like, the weaknesses of these two defenses are their run defense. You look at Georgia, they have been not a bad run defense by any stretch, but they have not been, I think, like what you would call a high level run defense. I think that they've been all right at times, but the same is basically true for Alabama. They've been gashed on the ground in some ways that just aren't really characteristic for Saban coach teams, and that's all right, but I am curious to see basically kind of how this plays out on Saturday. Cause I do think, like, if you tell me that Georgia can run the football on Saturday, even if that's just like, if Georgia can get 5 yards carry on the ground on Saturday, it's really hard for me to picture losing this game. Yeah. And I think the side of that goes back to, a lot of the conversations we've had in the past about, like, the light boxes and all of that. Like, can Bama keep them under that kind of, 4.5-5 yard a carry clip without bringing guys up? Because, like, the difference in this Georgia team and a lot of the Georgia teams that have gone up against Bama in the past is that, like, you can't just play man across the back end against McConkie and Bowers and et cetera, like they will make you pay for that. And so it's going to be very, very interesting. And Auburn put some things on tape from a runs perspective that worked in terms of how to deal with Dallas Turner. So,
and I think people are really getting to understand how accurate 15 is. He's deadly. He's made some throws over this season that's like, okay, he's one of the guys, one of the guys that you need to talk about, beyond this year. So I think, now don't get me wrong, Stetson played decent ball versus Bama, but I think Bama is seeing a different guy at quarterback than they've seen the last 2 years. 15 can carve them up really good.
I think Carson, he's got that deadly accuracy and that big arm like you're talking about, but, like, he's also gotten to a point throughout this season and especially over the last month where, like, he's also moving guys with his eyes and he's looking off defenders. And, like, even when his really, really talented group of pass catchers are not creating space on their own, like, he's influencing defenders and creating it for him. And that's really tough to deal with when you get that on the college level behind an offensive line with many draft picks on it. And, with a Kendall Milton in the backfield, like, that becomes very overwhelming. And, I think what's interesting on the flip side of this for Milroe, like, we were talking about those deep balls and stuff earlier, but, Tommy Rees has actually done a really good job of getting guys open for him and, like, creating wide open deep throws and finding ways to kind of force defenses into busting coverages. But, like, Bama's, their top four receivers those guys only have like six contested catches on 20 plus yard throws all year, which is not that many when you think about, you know, them having 58 pass attempts downfield, and only 11 of his 58 pass attempts have been like quote unquote contested balls where you're talking like 50-50 back shoulder kind of situation. So, yeah, I mean, that's what would scare me if I was an Alabama fan, is like, I don't really ever see Georgia just bust things on the back end wide open where guys are just running free. There's times where guys get beat, but they don't bust coverages. And then underneath, you know, if we're talking a third and six situation, like if Georgia brings the house and blitzes five or even six, are Bama's receivers good enough to like create separation in two and a half seconds that, you know, Georgia's defensive backs are going to lose contact with those guys and a slant pattern can all of a sudden go 65 for a touchdown? I every other time that we've come up against Bama since we've been doing this type of stuff, it's like, yeah, dude, if you cover J-Mo one-on-one on a slant, then like you might give up a touchdown if you don't at least have like cover one back there to, you know, tackle him and you're not shading some stuff in his direction. I don't feel that way with Jermaine Burton. You know, I think Burton's a good receiver, but he's not like a yak machine. He's not a 4-4 guy that's just going to, you know, take off to the house on you. So I think Georgia can get really aggressive in this game in some ways that, you know, they maybe haven't been able to in the past.
I think the Smiths have a great game. Tyke playing in that slot, coming up in the box, doing what he's doing. I can actually foresee, Graham, when you talk about a slant route trying to go to Burton, Tyke picking that thing off, just baiting it and going the other way for a pick six. I want to go back to something that George said, though, when he was talking about Carson Beck. We've seen the evolution of Carson Beck all season. We saw the tight Carson Beck, you know, game one. He admitted he was a little bit nervous. We saw the progressions of him being able to throw the intermediate routes and looking guys off. But you know, one other thing that we saw is Carson Beck taking over and saying, you know what, if I have to run for a first down, I'll do it. If I have to use my legs, I'll do it. And that's a whole nother element. When you have to prepare for him and prepare for Mike Bobo, what do you do then? I mean, the past couple of years, you know, you had Stetson Bennett and they would call plays for him and Stetson's going to run and he's going to improvise. He's going to do his thing. But you didn't expect that with Carson, which makes that Alabama defense have to respect him even more. And best believe you're going to see some quarterback draws called just to keep them off balance, keep Dallas Turner off balance in this game. So he just can't try to tee off. And I don't think he's going to tee off anyway against this offensive line. I think last year they had but when they had Anderson on one side and Dallas Turner on the other side, I mean, it's a little bit easier when you got a, you know, bona fide first round top five pick on the other side helping you out. But now it's just you on your own. I don't see it. I just don't. And when you look at also the way this team is running the football, again, it makes teams respect all over the field now. Earlier on in the season, we weren't running the football well. We got to be honest. You know, the trenches, it was a work in process of who was going to play, mixing and matching guys. But now, as George
said, what did I say early on? I said, I've seen this before.
You did.
With the O-line, with the gelling, and, you know, I've seen this before. And I can't pinpoint the season, but I've seen this before with the Georgia offensive line not quite being what they could be. Mm-hmm. They got it together. Facts. It's got to be a concerted effort by everybody. It's got to be the backs taking the right steps. It's got to be the line taking the right steps. that matters. It's not just the old line, and everybody gelled, you know, over time.
And when you got the running backs back healthy, you got two of your star backs in the backfield. Because early on, you didn't have that, right? You didn't have Edwards, who was completely healthy. You had Milton had the hamstring issue earlier on. Now both of those guys, I'm not going to say they're 100% healthy. Nobody's 100% healthy at this point, but they're healthy enough to make great plays and make things happen.
Yeah, they look good. They look good to me. Both backs
very good.
look really good. They look
very good.
Like a couple of those jump cuts. That's a big man jump cut, number two. He's jump cutting and putting his feet on the ground and being explosive. You know, that's a big part of playing running back. It's not how fast you are, it's how fast you get through the hole. You know, that's a big deal. I think I saw that. that was one of the things. I had this packet when I was scouting. Someone passed along to me. I can't remember if it was Bill Polian or it was one of the, I forgot who it was, but one of his big things was for running backs was how explosive are they through the hole. And then, you know, that ain't got nothing to do with your long speed. Most people not taking the ball 70 yards anyway. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's how fast you get through the hole. And these guys we have, they do a great job of that. They do a great job. They've been doing a great job of that as of late. And you just hope the youngins are behind them looking at that just in case we need them. But yeah, this O-line, they're you know, I like the way they're trending right now. Facts. At the right time.
Yeah. Well, let's get into our predictions, man. We already got Marler's prediction. You know, he believes that Bama's going to lose by, did he say 10?
He said he believes it's like a 10-point game.
34-10, 34-24 then, something like that, because he said he believes they can get to 24 points. What are your guys' predictions on this game Saturday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 4 p.m.? The weather should be fine inside. The liquor flowing.
I think... for some reason I think he gave him a little bit too much. My first mind says they score 17. I'll give a little wiggle room to 20. Damn. So I say Georgia wins 20? Earlier today I said that I had 31-17 in my mind. I had 31-17 in my mind. I'm gonna keep it there. 31-17.
What do you got, Graham?
Yeah, I mean I look at this game and you know, this boomer bust kind of nature of the Alabama offense, like, I think Tommy Rees can draw up a really good game plan, but like, that still kind of is who they are, you know, 11 games into the season, like you are who you are at this point. And I just don't think the way you beat Georgia is by, you know, trying to force the issue in terms of creation of explosive plays. And then, you know, we know how hard it is to drive the ball down the field on them in little chunks, but like, I have a hard time finding the scenario where they create a ton in the passing game that, you know, really matters. Like, I think they'll get yards and I think they might hit some 30, 40 yard shots. It's just what happens after that. You still got to line up and you still got to go another 25 or 35. And I think that gets hard. And I think that, you know, Milroe's legs are a massive threat, as is his arm. You know, like he's a great deep ball passer. And, you know, he's a good short passer. He's not a very good intermediate passer, but, he can do some things. You can draw up a game plan around him. He's a very good football player. I just think in this game, interestingly enough, like because they aren't that great at taking those like intermediate sized chunks, that Georgia can kind of situationally like play where it's like, okay, Jalen, like take off for 12 yards, you know, like fine. And you can live with some of that. And so I've heard some people kind of be like, you know, the only way that Georgia loses this game is if Milroe runs all over them.
I think you don't want him to run all over you, but like if the trade-off is let him run for, you know, 10, 12, 15 yard chunks versus defending against that deep ball that they've been so reliant on, then you defend against the deep ball every time. So I think that Georgia will play well on defense. You know, I mean, I think Bama will score some, but I just don't see anything. If you look at like historically what breaks down a Kirby Smart defense, you're talking first round throwers, you're talking multiple first round receivers, and this is not that. It's just not that. And like, I think that they will, you know, I got them scoring 20 points, ironically enough, George, before you even said that. Like, I thought like 20 points is fair. And I think that accounts for some things going really well for them, honestly. Mm-hmm. So on the flip side, I don't see, like, we haven't even seen Georgia run their offense for four quarters against anybody. And they still are, you know, 38 in their sleep, 43, you know, like facts. 52 on Ole Miss when they put the backups in with 15 minutes to go. This offense is the best offense that Georgia's ever had. Straight up. Like that, this collection, and
they can do it. They can do it all.
Yeah. The ability to counterpunch and the ability to make you pay if you try to take one thing away from them versus the other. I don't know if Alabama will try to take the run away. That feels like kind of what you have to do. But honestly, I think if you take the run away from Georgia, you might just get beat faster in this game. Like, you
don't want to get down against them. That's the thing. Yeah. You don't want to get two scores versus Georgia is a lot. It's a lot. Yeah.
And, like, if Georgia gets through the opening script of this game without giving up a touchdown, like, I think Bama's in a lot of trouble.
And I know this is an interruption in your spiel. It's funny. So me and my homeboy, we sitting in the stands at 10 because you mentioned we haven't seen Georgia run their offense for four quarters. There will be some things that we haven't seen before this week, and it happened against Tennessee. I'm sitting in the stands, and we're early on, we're running the ball wide. It's not really doing much. And my homeboy, Big Snacks, is like, man, why? He stutters a little bit. Man, why we keep running? No, keep running that play. I said everything is for a reason. You have to run the plays that don't work because they set up things that do. You know, I said everything is for a reason. The very next series, we tossed that ball wide to 86. To 86. And what happened? He throws it. Everything is by design. You know what I mean? We haven't seen, and it's been like this all season. We haven't seen the best of the defense, and we haven't seen the best of the offense yet. That's what excites me. That's what has excited me all season, because I could see it happening. We've been good enough to not have to shoot our wad in the middle of the season, which I love.
I've been writing about this for 2 years now, to be honest with you, George. I've called it, I started calling it the long con theory of Georgia football. And yeah, man, like I agree with you. They play some of these games against some of these lesser teams to literally make things harder on their players, to make them better at going and beating the man in front of them. And then when it comes time to scheme things up, they're used to beating the guy in front of them, but sometimes they don't have to because the scheme has helped them in a way. It's helped them be a free rusher, or it's helped them get into space on a passing route. So I'm with you. And I think that Georgia has been preparing for this game for a few weeks. Like, I think that from a game planning standpoint, that this has been, you know, in process. And I think that they'll draw up a heater of a game plan, and I think they'll run it. And I think that, you know, all of the talk about, like, Georgia not getting receiver numbers and this and that and all of that, like, I think that probably ends on Saturday night, you know.
So what's your score?
I think Georgia's going to, like, I mean, honestly, man, when I came on here, I was thinking 31-34-20. Okay. The more that I think about this, though, it's just like George said, like that Tennessee game, when I went back and watched it, there was a lot that didn't go well for Georgia's offense in that game, like especially from a run blocking standpoint from midway through the first quarter through like midway through the third quarter. And they still scored 38 without really having to run their offense for the last 15 minutes of the game. Like, I just think that I think people realize that they're good. I don't think people realize like how good they are. And yeah, I think Georgia's I can't believe I'm about to say this, dude. I'm either going to become a fucking meme or I'll be a legend forever, but the hell with it, man. Georgia 45, Alabama 23. I think they're going to smoke that ass.
I'm with
it. All right.
My God. I know I can count on
you. I'm with it. I hate that I didn't jump out there. You're my hero. I swear I wanted to.
There's nothing wrong with jumping out there. The more
I thought about it, I was like,
fellas, think about it. I mean, let's be honest. From the beginning of the season to the end of the season, we have progressively gotten even better with our picks because we've been realistic. Unlike some of the fans that watch the game or some people that just want Georgia to boat race people. And it doesn't happen that way. George, you started off the season by talking about, look, you're going to see a progression, right? You're going to see this team grow. You're going to see things happen that they haven't happened normally in 21 and 22. This is a different team. We're seeing that in 23, and they've progressively gotten better and better and better. And when you think that they're not going to win a game, they do win a game. When you think they're not going to dominate a game the way that they do, they dominate the game, the way that you didn't even think that was going to happen, right? We start looking at a game like Tennessee where they score 38 just to score 38. They just score 38. I mean, it's impossible to look at this team and say that they can't go out on Saturday and make things happen the way that we believe that they should. I still look at Alabama as being Bama. I still look at Nick Saban as being able to dial some things up. They've been preparing for this as well. Tommy Reese has been preparing for this as well. I mean, the last couple of weeks, they have been preparing since understanding they're going to face Georgia. So therefore, when you look at Milroe, they're going to dial some things up for him. Georgia has left a lot of things on tape that have not worked well for them as well. When you look at running quarterbacks, you look at a Jackson Dart, you look at last week, you know, with King, you go back to, the kid over at Missouri, right? But Georgia is able to fix those holes. What I look at this offense really winning this game, and I think it's going to be one in the trenches. The offensive line is either going to dominate pass blocking or they're going to dominate run blocking. One of the things going to happen, they're going to dominate. I look at Georgia 38-23. That's where I'm going. I still think Bama is good enough to make things happen. I mean, look, we've had a blown play on defense. 38-23. We've had a blown play on defense almost every game. So, I'm going to just give them 7 off the rip. Then on top of that, I'm going to say, they're going to dial up something. You know, Reese is going to be a little, okay, give them another 7. But it's going to be like field goals if anything happens after that. I just don't see Bama getting into a rhythm where they can win this game and dominate Georgia, because you would have to have a momentous effort to really dominate Georgia for 4 quarters to win this game. I don't see them completely imploding on offense and defense at the same time. It's not going to happen. I'm going 38-23. Georgia wins this thing running away. And there we go. And off to the college football playoffs.
Well, and even in the off chance this game was to turn into a shootout, who do you trust?
I trust Georgia's offense.
We've shown over and over that. That's it. We can march down the field when needed and score.
Facts.
You know, after, like, even after, you know, after it could be a disaster on defense first drive, we turn around, touchdown. Like, they've shown it over and over. They're very efficient. 15 takes care of the ball. He, you know, he doesn't make mistakes. And that's that's one of the big reasons we are where we are right now. He doesn't make mistakes with that football, man. Like, it's actually impressive to see. You know, if, you know, all of his, if there's been a pick, it's been tipped or it's been a slip or been something like, he's very responsible with the football.
And George, if anything does happen, he corrects it ASAP. He comes right back at him. It's not like he's going out there multiple turnovers. Not happening.
He's a good steward of the football, and I enjoy watching him in that respect.
All right, fellas, it's been a great show, man. I can't wait for Saturday again. Saturday, 4 p.m. Be there, be square. Mm-hmm. Don't be like Marler. Don't be at a party or a wedding or anything else. Man, you got to be at the spot, ready to watch this game. Locked in. It's about to go down. With that being said, as always, see you at 100 Sanford. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dawgs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.